ITS Coffee Break for Monday, September 23rd, 2013.
In this week's edition of the ITS Coffee Break, we'll talk about the launch of the My.Lafayette web portal. We'll also talk in tech news about iOS 7 and the new iPhone launch, as well as Microsoft Surface 2 and some wearable computing options.
Welcome to the ITS Coffee Break. I'm Ken Newquist.
And I'm Courtney Bentley.
And the portal has launched.
It has.
It has cleared the tower.
It's so exciting. So I know that we've talked about this on previous podcasts, but Ken and I have been involved in the development of the my.lafayette.edu portal for quite some time. We'll just call it 2.5 years.
Sure.
Although I will say that when I got here 8 years ago, I think one of the first meetings I ever sat in was Ken leading a discussion about the portal.
Yeah, so it is actually here. It is a real thing. It does stuff.
It does. So for those of you who don't remember, or maybe we didn't talk about this, it's actually an aggregation spot. So it's much less of a, I have to go to the portal to do certain things. It's more of a reimagining of the stuff that people need to accomplish. So right. It's task-oriented. I think it's pretty exciting. It pulls together basically all of your accounts so that you can quickly jump from one system to another and not have to remember the URLs for things.
Right, and it single signs you in. So if you log into the portal, you're single signed into everywhere else. Let's see, it'll have your webmail block. So it does, that's one of the places where it pulls content in. So it lists your most recent webmail messages. It pulls in events feed from the Lafayette calendar. But a lot of times we're actually trying to send you other places. So I think in many ways it flattens kind of the structure of the college. So you don't have to go, oh, well, what department's responsible for this? So I have to go find their website. It's, well, what tasks am I trying to accomplish? So there's a managing your office. There's my courses. That's another place where it queries out. So for example, a student who logs into Moodle will see the current semester's courses.
Who logs into the portal will current Moodle courses.
Right.
Yep.
Same thing goes for Spaces. So, you know, staff and faculty who might log in and have committee courses or what have you in Spaces. When they log into the portal, they're going to see those. Faculty are going to see the active courses they have as well as the inactive courses they have for this and previous semesters. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're very excited about it. So there's actually a special block in there called About My.Lafayette. And there's actually a link to a feedback submission. So if you go in, you take a look, you find a bug, or maybe you have a suggestion of an addition or a change, we would love to hear feedback about the portal.
Right. So you can check it out at my.lafayette.edu. In other tech news, we've got fairly technical topic, but
yeah. So, I mean, I guess to make it not technical,
keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Those of you who have been on campus, you use wired or wireless internet. You usually have to log in using a little thing that pops up at you. That thing is changing.
Right.
So you're still gonna have to log into the network, but it's gonna act more like when you go to Panera or a hotel or
right, Barnes & Noble or something like that. Where you go to log into the network, it pops up a screen and it says, hey, you need to log in.
Right.
So this is known, the technical term for this is the 802.1x pilot project. And basically what's happening is that we're swapping out the old way of doing network authentication for a new way of doing it, right?
Right. And so the reason we're telling you about this now is because on Wednesday, Skillman Library will become the pilot testbed. So if you come to Skillman and you have your laptop and you want to get on wireless or wired connection, you may see a change.
Right. So don't panic. If you have any problems, just find a friendly, you know, where can they go for help?
Actually, the best place is probably the reference desk because they've been trained in sort of what's going to go on, and they can probably be the best first line of defense for you. But you can always call the help desk too. Right. That's always a good option.
And if you're wondering why Skillman, it's basically Skillman is the perfect test bed for this because it has everything. It has cash registers that need to connect to the network in Skillman Cafe. It has printers that need to print over the network. It's got computer labs. It's got faculty, staff, and students all in the same place. It's got wireless. I mean, everything that you could possibly want to test is in Skillman, so it makes it a good place to try out. We're expecting it to go smoothly.
Yeah, we're expecting it to go smoothly, and then you can expect that this would be rolled out during fall break.
So assuming everything does go smoothly.
That's right. But we're going to think positively.
Right. So in other news, this is specific to Moodle. Moodle Hack DocFest is coming up at Eckerd College in January of 2014. So this is where we get together and hack and document Moodle. So we come up with our big list of projects we want to work on. We get to a college, and we work on it for a couple of days. This is the first time we've gone to Florida, though. Eckerd is actually in St. Petersburg. So I think
That's gonna be the farthest
south we've gone because it's below New Orleans, right, which was a previous record holder.
That is true.
So
I guess for any faculty who are listening, if you have little things in Moodle that maybe you'd like a feature added or something works in a way that you don't really like, right now would be a really excellent time to submit those types of things to us so that we can possibly submit them on to be worked on.
Right. And if you are at another institution and would like to go to HackDoc, you can find out information in the show notes. In tech news this week, I think our big topic is iOS 7 and iPhone 5S/C.
Yeah, and so dirty little secret here. Between segments of the show, we do stop it so that we can add the transitions. And Ken and I were sitting here discussing, and then we decided, you know, we should probably hit record and just talk through this. Because we were doing the whole geeking out about our phones and the new OS. So I know those of you who know me, this will not come as a surprise. I shattered my phone last week, right before the release of the new ones. This is only funny for people who understand that I lost a phone so that I could buy my first iPhone. Then I had a phone stolen out of my office the same week as another release so that I could get that phone. And so everyone thinks that I just took
a
hammer.
Things on purpose.
Yeah. But I went on Friday morning. I got a 5S. I had the 32 gig and it's black. I don't care what they call it. Slate gray or
space gray
or whatever. But yeah, iOS 7 is starting to grow on us.
Yeah, I don't know. When I first saw it, I thought that Windows 8 had invaded my phone. But which isn't necessarily a good thing because I'm not super thrilled with Windows 8. But it is kind of growing on me. Now, I think one of the adjustments that we were just talking about was the background that you choose for your phone can actually make a huge difference on your opinions of it. Because what I was finding was my original backgrounds that I had imported from iOS 6, there's a lot of translucency going on. And there's a lot of places where, you know, it's supposed to subtly filter through. But with my backgrounds, it was just coming out gray. I had a gray bar. I had gray buttons. You know, it was just gray, gray, gray. So once I switched to the Apple backgrounds, I wanted to see what it was supposed to look like. It was
better.
It looked better. So now I think the key is you need to have a background that's kind of dark at the bottom and light at the top. Now I can hear Charles Fulton in Web Dev saying, well, this is stupid. I shouldn't have to pick backgrounds. It should just work, right? He has a point. However, if you're looking for the most aesthetically pleasing thing, having a dark background at the bottom and having it fade to light up top seems to work better. However, the thing we're noticing, a lot of what they've done is they've really lightened the interface. So, and this is, I think, where part of the Windows-ish thing is happening. But a lot of the text, like in your calendar or in mail, it's now on a white background with a very narrow Helvetica-type font, sans serif font. And my challenge has been in working with it outside.
Yes.
So it's just hard to read.
It is. I have had that challenge this week, or this weekend, as I've gotten used to it. But the calendar is really growing on me. I feel like it's easier to navigate.
I think the calendar
to navigate.
Yeah, I think the mail is growing. I mean, there's a lot of it that's kind of grown on me. The thing that killed me over the weekend was trying to figure out how to quit apps. Because I still have the iPhone 4, and I think it was using up a lot of memory. And I wanted to go in and kill a bunch of stuff because I had an application that was crashing. And I couldn't figure out how to do it because usually you hold down the start button or whatever it is, and everything starts jiggling, and then you can close out the app. You don't do that anymore. Now you put the star, what is it? You double click on it? Is that what it does? Yes. Yep. You double click on the start button, and then you get a list of all your apps, and then you just flick that particular app up and it deletes it.
Same thing with the Safari browser. So now if you have multiple tabs, which I most of the time do, you just flick those over to the left and they close the tab.
Yeah, so it's...
So it shows them as a stack, which I really like, actually. I find that it's much easier to see what all I have.
It's a lot faster, I think. It's just, I mean, I know your phone is faster in general than my kludgy old machine.
Yeah, I will say it is. Of course, I'm coming from a 4, so my obsessions are not everyone's obsessions. I was obsessed this weekend with Siri. She was texting lots of people for me, and I didn't have to type.
The other thing I like is that you can swipe up, and when you swipe up, it brings up the shortcuts for turning off your phone in airport mode, which is thank you. And then you can get directly to the brightness display, the audio interface, which is great for my audiobooks, and then there's actually a flashlight button. You click that. No more flashlight app. Timer, camera, calculator, boom, it's all there. Yep. Which I know Android has done this forever, but
it's all the stuff. It's all the stuff that we commonly dig around for.
Right, not unlike the portal, which exposes a bunch of stuff you normally dig around for. So all in all, I think it's growing on me. We'll see. I've been trying to reserve judgment until I've actually used it for a while. Because it's easy to have your initial reaction go, well, this sucks because it's different.
Right.
But it has been growing on me. Anything else on iPhone land?
No, I think that's probably good. Let's give a little love to other options.
Other devices.
So I guess the Microsoft Surface 2 is out, and it's got a higher resolution and a backlit keyboard, and it's much lighter. My first reaction, of course, I haven't seen one in person, but it looks like an Air to me.
It looks very much like a Apple MacBook Air.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean, it's funny because, the original iPad was pretty heavy. So right. It seems like it's made a similar transition. I'd like to see it in person, like everything else. But I thought it was worth mentioning that the new one is... I don't think it's out yet. I think people were playing with it. I think it was tech demos. But yes, it's coming in the not-too-distant future. The other thing that is actually here that has been talked about forever is a smartwatch.
And we talked about this several shows ago.
Yes.
Sort of speculations and things.
So I don't know what the status of the various smartwatch Kickstarters was, but I do know that this made a big hit, I think, maybe in the last 2-3 weeks, while we were going crazy with the start of term. But it's Samsung's Galaxy Gear. So the idea is this is an Android-based smartwatch, I guess, that you can wear on your wrist, just like a normal watch. It has different watch faces that you can select. You can choose what tiles display on the home of your watch, right? So you can have the weather, time, different watch faces, that kind of thing. It works with your phone, so it has some compatibility with, but it's only the specific...
with one...
Right,
Samsung.
It was the Galaxy Note 3 or something like that. So it seems fairly limited in that regard because, I got an iPhone.
I'm not going to change my phone to get a watch.
Right, exactly. But it looks, it looks very much like a Mark 1 version of a smartphone. I'm sure there's going to be iterations coming along the line. But it was cool to actually see. It does not apparently do video conferencing, so you can't do the Dick Tracy thing, which I know is a very old reference. But ultimately, that is what people... think about when
they see the phone. See the watch.
Even now, I think people are going, oh, you should be able to, video conference over your phone, over your watch. I don't know that I really want to do that, but. one of the things, I think it was Tim Cook at Apple, was basically saying he was kind of a little bit dismissive of it, or maybe a lot dismissive of it. And I thought, he said he thought that something like Nike's Fuel Band was more interesting. And the Fuel Band is another piece of wearable tech. And basically it's very dedicated. It gives you a little display and it shows you how well you are doing and progressing towards your fitness goals as measured by the number of steps you take. So it's basically keeping track of all the stuff you do during your day. So if your goal is to, I don't remember exactly what it was. Let's say you take 5,000 steps. It's counting going up and down the stairs in Skillman. It's talking about, going down to party or what have you. So it's interesting. I think his point was to do more than just have it be a watch, right? Like make the apps be something that is unique to that particular form factor. Just don't make it a watch.
Right.
So I'll be interested to see how this goes. Everybody's been speculating about exactly what's going to be happening with Apple. And I would expect something that's probably a little sleeker coming from Apple, but we'll see. Mm-hmm.
Well, in help news, we were actually sort of, we feel like we're missing something. There's got to be some help news out there that we needed to mention. We did mention the 802.1x, so I think
that is the big thing.
If you need help, contact a reference librarian. But we'll have some information available on the website as well for people who are just interested. You don't really want to come to Skillman. Got it. So I guess the other bit of help news that we had was there's actually an interesting program coming up that's sponsored by the Center for the Integration of Teaching, Learning, and Scholarship. And it's going to be here in Skillman upstairs in 206 on Thursday, the 26th, from 4:10 to 5:10-ish. It's actually MOOCs in theory and practice. So I will say that no one has made any sort of mandate for campus that says we are going to involve ourselves in MOOCs. But I think it's an excellent conversation that's already begun on campus. Thinking about MOOCs and the extension of learning and all of these things. So Professor Robert, I guess it's Grist? It's G-H-R-I-S-T, from the University of Pennsylvania, has been teaching a Coursera course, which is a calculus course. So he will be here to talk about his experience in both developing it and teaching it. So if you're interested in MOOCs and sort of that scene of what's going on, it would be an excellent time to come over and hear what experiences have happened and join in that conversation.
I think even if you're not planning on being in one or teaching one, I think it's still useful to just kind of see what's going on in that space.
Yes, and to be able to actually talk to someone who's developed one, I think is really helpful to sort of understand some of the challenges and some of the benefits and why he did it.
Right. So we're always looking for feedback on the show. You can email us at itsblog@lafayette.edu and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The links are in the show notes.